You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Rejoice This Christmas. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
2 years ago, the National Retailers Federation conducted a national survey to determine the amount of money the average family spends for Christmas gifts. At that time, the average spent was nearly $1,000 for every household. That was 2 years ago, and the amount spent this year has probably topped or even surpassed the $1,000 per family amount. This same Retailers Federation said that much of the spending will be reasonable and rational, but then they also added that for a growing number of families, the holidays will be a treacherous time, a time to get deeper and deeper into debt. Consequently, and sadly, for over 10 million people, this Christmas will surely prove to be a financial disaster due to uncontrolled, unnecessary, and compulsive shopping. Oh, what an irony. Historically, Christmas has always been a time for Christians to celebrate. They rejoice that God in His grace has given unto all people of every nation salvation in Christ as a free gift. But now this season of the free gift has been turned into a time for financial bondage, including the credit card ball and chain. For many, Christmas has become a time when millions become dragged down into debt and financial misery. Now, there is certainly nothing wrong for family members to exchange gifts at Christmas, and there is nothing sinful about giving friends or relatives or neighbors a gift during the holidays. But when we try to give our children real love by excessive spending, or when we try to meet people's deepest emotional needs through lavish gifts, then we need to recall the warning word from the prophet Isaiah. Why do you spend your wages for what does not satisfy? Instead, speaking for the Lord, the prophet then says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, says the Lord, that you may live." This message of life that the Lord wants you and your family to hear this Christmas is the same message as announced by the angel unto the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy, the angel said. There is born for you today a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, how foolish it must surely seem to some in our so-called modern world of the 20th century to be talking about the gift of a Savior. Money. New clothes, inline skates, or a new power tool, perhaps, would certainly seem to be so much more helpful, so much more relevant, and so much more practical, and so much more appropriate than a helpless baby born in a manger in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. But you see, it is only when we hear that this same baby grew up to become the crucified Christ and the resurrected Savior, for only then will our minds be truly changed, and only then will our Christmas season vision focus on Him who says to us 365 days of the year, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If your sins are dragging you down, this Jesus says, "Then give them to me, and I will take all of them." If any man is thirsty, let him come to me for a drink, Jesus said. Oh, these gracious offers made by the Christ of Christmas have brought more help, more hope, to more people in more lands over more centuries than all the millions ever spent on Christmas gifts. You parents, for your children and for the ones you so dearly love, you may have already selected a sweater, or maybe a bottle of perfume, or maybe a new shaver. Or you may have opted for shoes or clothes. These gifts may certainly bring your friends and your children great joy. In fact, some of these gifts may even be needed by your family. But on this Christmas, don't forget. No, don't forget to give your children and all those you love that gift, which will meet their greatest need not only for this life, but also for the life to come. And especially today, if your children are like most others, then they are in great need of a hope for the future. Today, there are very few things that are more desperately needed by our young people than a reason to live. Newspapers regularly report that suicide has become one of the major causes of death among American youth. Self-destruction now ranks next to automobile accidents and homicides. And according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, in recent years, the incidence of suicide among teenagers and young adults has nearly tripled. In 1992, the most recent year for which figures are available, 1,847 teens destroyed themselves. Yes, they gave up all hope to live. They decided there was no reason to live. And according to a specialist on suicide, one of the most disturbing things today is that many of those teenagers who commit suicide are those who appear successful and well-adjusted. This seeming contradiction was dramatically reported in major newspapers all across our country less than 2 months ago. This stunning story made the front page of the New York Times. A 17-year-old boy, a straight-A high school senior, destroyed himself. He was found by a classmate hanging from a tree limb with a bullet in his head. He was not only a straight-A student, this handsome young man was considered to be the most popular in his class, and he had received more than 50 college recruiting letters from places like Harvard and Princeton University. This young man who destroyed himself had been the very envy of many of his classmates. He was what they could only hope to be. Newspapers reported that this young man did all he could to succeed, and yet, ever since he was 5 years old, he was deeply troubled by his parents' divorce. Because he was a high achiever, this doomed child had tried to build his life into something respectable. But the foundation, yes, the relationship of his family, was broken at a very early age. It was something that the deeply troubled man could not overcome. And no matter how hard he had tried, and no matter how well he had succeeded in sports and grades and other relationships, he could not succeed at his greatest need, the love and the support of a normal family. And so how ironic it is that we learn from social experts today that the holiday season, and especially Christmas, which should be a time of great joy and happiness, is often a period of depression and doom for many, including teenagers. So much more than a reason that you parents, when you wonder what would be the greatest thing you could give your children, the answer is simple. Give them love and support. Tell them about the God of the Bible, the God of grace, the God who forgives their failures and offers them strength and hope. This is something that money can never, ever buy. And again, over and over again, we need to hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Why do you spend your wages for what does not satisfy? Instead, says the Lord, incline your ear and come unto me so that you may live. You parents, nowadays you are certainly faced with an enormous challenge. Yes, an enormous challenge of helping your children to understand that the main point of Christmas is not to receive, but to give, and that the real reason that the first Christmas occurred was not when wealthy people received lavish gifts from each other, but the first Christmas took place when simple people like the poor shepherds received the greatest gift from God. This took place when the angel announced, "For unto you is born a Savior who is Christ the Lord." When most children today hear the word Christmas, they immediately associate this word with gifts and presents and toys. And of course, there is nothing wrong with this. There is nothing wrong when parents show their love to their children at Christmas time by giving them special gifts. However, a terrible and a potentially eternal tragedy occurs when the main emphasis, or often the only emphasis at Christmas, is placed upon the gifts and the presents of this world, while the greatest gift of God in the person and the birth of the Christ child is either overlooked or intentionally omitted altogether. You parents, oh, you do have a challenge on your hands this Christmas. The battle that you are now being forced to fight against the powers of materialism is a greater spiritual struggle than any person can overcome by human strength. And there is reason for this. You see, the New York Times announced that retailers make as much as 50% of all their combined sales for the entire year during those weeks prior to Christmas. And they also make an even greater share of their profits during the Christmas season. Now, of course, again, there is nothing wrong. There is nothing inherently evil in shopkeepers making a profit. After all, this is how they stay in business, and this is also how they feed their families. But the sad problem is this. The greatest pressures from million-dollar merchandisers takes place during the Christmas season. This is the time of the year when God would have us focus our eyes of faith most directly, not on the things of this world, but on that one thing that God so fervently and so lovingly and so graciously desires to give us. This gift was announced by the Apostle Paul, who said, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And so then, as adopted children in Christ, all Christians ought to turn the other way every time the high-pressure sales pitch of the holidays attempts to focus our hearts more on the earthly Christmas presents than on God's heavenly gift. Nowadays, increasingly sophisticated merchandise is being pitched at younger and younger children. Radio stations are also springing up, offering children 24 hours of music, games, call-in quizzes, and stories. But these same radio formats are being laced with powerful advertising backed by millions and millions of dollars, designed to overpower and to snare the unsuspecting child. As a result, these powers lead our children to believe, especially at Christmas time, that they must have this or that. As the Bible says, these little helpless minds are being captured. Yes, they are being taken over. They are being driven by the powerful forces of secular materialism and merchandising. One little six-year-old boy said recently, "I like Christmas much more than birthdays because you get more presents." And so then, you parents and grandparents, Christmas is that time of the year when you have no choice but to do real battle with the devil. But Christmas is also that time when you can really reach your children and your grandchildren. You can do this not only by what you give them, but also by how you treat them. And this is also what will make a major and a lasting impression on their minds. Christ is the center of Christmas, and the center of Christ is the gospel. For this reason, before you begin thinking of bicycles and dolls and clothes and skates and Pocahontas dolls and computers and whatever else, first give your children or your grandchildren the very best. Give them that gift that will strengthen and encourage your loved ones. Give them love and give them support. Offer them a smile. Speak to them a word of encouragement. And with all this, include the advice of the Apostle Paul. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, and forgiving each other, just as God, in Christ, also has forgiven you. So then, once you parents have effectively focused the eyes and the faith of your children on Christ, the author of their forgiveness, and the source of their strength, and the foundation of their eternal hope, then, yes, then give them all the other gifts they want or need. By doing this, you will then be both pleasing God and also helping forever those you love. And finally, you parents, take time out also to enjoy Christmas yourself. In the last 20 years, all families in our country have become busy, very busy. And so, beginning with this Christmas, make it a point to slow down. This Christmas, enjoy yourself. Begin by attending a local church where the good news of God's Christmas gospel of forgiveness and hope is clearly proclaimed. And then spend as much time as you can with your spouse, with your children, and with your grandchildren. And when they ask you, "Why are you so happy and what has you so filled with joy?" then echo the words that the angel spoke at the first Christmas. Say in love, God has sent me to tell you God's good news of great joy, that in Jesus God has forgiven you all your sins. And then you parents also add this, because Christ has forgiven me, I forgive you also, and God forgives you too. Unto all of you parents and grandparents and you children, Merry Christmas. Begin today to share God's greatest Christmas gift and joy of total forgiveness and the certainty of the heavenly hope. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.